Open your Bibles to Matthew. Matthew chapter 13. Verse 16. Now, this is the title of my message this morning. And I've had just a few minutes to think about it. I just got it. But he says, blessed are your eyes. Blessed are your eyes. For they see, and your ears, for they hear. Well, what is it that we see and hear? Look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, believers in this day are blessed with all. That's how many? All. Not just part, not just some, but all, everyone, all spiritual blessings in the Lord Jesus Christ, because we are in Christ. And His is all the inheritance, and we are fellow heirs with Him, and therefore all of that inheritance is ours in Christ Jesus. Whether it is whatever it is, all things are yours, and you are Christ, and Christ is God's. Pardon through His blood. Pardon. Execution stayed. It's not going to be. There'll be no execution of vengeance on us, because that vengeance has already been put on our Lord Jesus Christ. He endured the vengeance that we earned by our sins. So we are pardoned. We are sanctified, absolutely holy in the Lord Jesus Christ by His holiness, in spite of and regardless of what we are in ourselves, which is unholy.
That's true.
In ourselves. But we're not in ourselves. We never have. Believers never have been in themselves. We've always been joined to and seen of the Father in the Lord Jesus Christ and partaker of all His blessings, and He is our surety. And therefore, all that we deserve from the law in the way of wrath, He's already endured that, and by enduring it, has put it away. Christ hath redeemed us. He hasn't made redemption a possibility for all men. He redeemed somebody. Amen. He is a redeemer that redeems. Amen. He's a Savior that saves. He is a God who is God. Not a want to be, not a trying to be, not a wants to, if you will do this or that, but He puts a want to in you and causes you to want to hear. He gives you a new heart and a new spirit. In Ezekiel 36, I'll put my spirit in them and I'll cause you by that spirit that dwells in you. I'll cause you to walk in my statutes and you shall keep my judgments and do them. And the man that doeth them shall live by Him. We did everything in the Lord Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. He's our life. Blessed are your eyes. Blessed are your eyes in particular if you see. Blessed are your eyes. God hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We are blessed to get to sit under the gospel. Mm-hmm. What an immense and tremendous blessing that is to get to hear the gospel and not a perversion of the gospel, not another gospel about another Jesus who is a want to, if you will. but the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath ordained us to eternal life before the foundation of the world. And when we hear that gospel, He works in us a hearing ear.
Yeah, amen.
You're able to hear it. Now, that's not given to everybody. That is not given to everybody. It's only given to a few. The Lord don't... You know, there's multitudes of preachers out here, and most of them are liars. Most of them are liars. They're lying on the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They're telling that men that it's all up to you. Well, it ain't all up to you. God has already finished it all. And if you can hear... If you can believe. Blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. What a blessing that is. It's heaven begun. By being able to discern and hear this message of the gospel, it is a manifestation to you that the Holy Spirit is in you. And not only that, and that means something. That means where the Holy Spirit is, He is the earnest of the entire inheritance of grace. He is the first fruits of it. He is the pledge of every other part of it. He is the earnest of the inheritance. Look at Ephesians. We're up here. Ephesians 13. Ephesians 1:13. In whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after ye received, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. So He is a seal upon us. And that which is sealed is preserved and is held in ownership by whoever sealed it. Well, God the Father is who sealed this. All right. Which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possessions unto the praise of His glory. Believing the gospel is heaven begun. It's the work begun. Actually, in the decree of God, it's the work finished. And actually, it's only a part of the work that was finished before the foundation of the world. God determined all things known unto God are all His works from the foundation of the world. Acts 15:18. So it is just a part of what God has determined shall be. Now, those who the gospel means nothing to, those to whom it remains foolishness, that's what it's intended to be. They're not given an eye to see. They're not given an ear to hear. They're not given a heart to understand. They don't understand that it is life, that it is life. And therefore, it's meaningless to them. Now, they may be religious. They may be more religious than people who actually believe the gospel. Because that person is free. The one who believes the gospel is free. He's not bound up by a bunch of man's religious chains. He's not thrust up and fettered by taste not, touch not, handle not. He realizes that he is completely free in the Lord Jesus Christ to live in the Spirit. People who are religious are bound up by other men's commandments. And they have to walk really softly to make sure they obey all that the church prescribes for them. But he who is in Christ Jesus is free to live unto God. And he does just what he wants to do. And what does he want to do? Well, he wants to rejoice in the Lord Jesus Christ. He loves the gospel. He loves the people of God. He loves to hear the gospel preached. And going to church is to him not a burden. It's a joy. In the military, when men get a letter from home, they read it about five times before they ever put it down the first time. It means something to them. If you get a letter from whoever, don't mean a whole lot to you. This is a letter from home. A letter from our Father, from our God. And it means something to the children of God. Well, blessed are your eyes. For they see. Well, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 3. 1 Corinthians 12, 3. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed. Back in that day, the Jews and others said that Jesus was a curse, and a curse from God, and he was made a curse. Christ hath redeemed us from the law, being made a curse for us, as is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. But not in the frame that they put it here. And that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now what do you say? Can you say from your heart and believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord? Well, if you can, that's because the Holy Spirit has visited you and put that knowledge in your heart by the preaching of the gospel, and it's precious. It is precious because it is from Him who is elect and precious. To us that believe, look at 1 Peter chapter 2. Verse 4. Well, let's begin in verse 3. If so be that ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, if you've been made to believe that He's the Christ, and been made to know of His grace, in that you know your sins are forgiven, in that you know that He is the Christ. To whom coming, as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also as lively or living stones are built up a spiritual house. His church is the Jerusalem of God. It's the house of God. Habitation of God through the Spirit. Ye also, as living stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable unto God through Jesus Christ. Whereunto also is contained in the Scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect and precious. To His people, to the elect of God, to the church of God, our Lord Jesus Christ is precious. He's our life. He's everything to us. He's our joy, our peace, our hope, our righteousness, our wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. He is our life. He's precious. And he that believeth on Him shall not be confounded. Never be ashamed. Never be made ashamed. We won't be confounded in the day of judgment. Unto you therefore which believe is precious, but unto them that be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. Now look at Psalm 118. Psalm 118:22. The stone which the builders refused is become the head stone of the corner. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at Ephesians chapter 2. And verse 17. We'll begin reading right there. And came and preached peace unto you which were afar off and to them that were nigh. Come and preach peace to both the Jew and the Gentile. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, as the Gentiles were in former days. They're strangers and foreigners from the covenant of God. They had no part in the covenant of God. But fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. In whom all the building, fitly framed together, groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom also ye are builded together for an habitation of God. God dwells in his church corporately, as a church, and individually in their bodies. For an habitation of God through the Spirit. The Spirit comes and seeks out the covenant children of God who were foreordained to eternal life and breathes upon them the Spirit of life. And they receive the gift. They receive the breath. They begin to breathe. They're made alive. Now look at Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews 3. Wherefore, holy brethren, partaker of the heavenly calling. Now, why are you partaker of the heavenly calling? Because you're a covenant child. Because God blessed you in Christ Jesus from eternity. Chose you in Christ. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. For this man is counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he that builded the house hath more honor than the house. For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. And Moses verily was faithful in his house as a servant, for a testimony of those things which should afterward be spoken, but Christ as a son over his own house, whose house are we. We're that house. We're those chosen, live, living stones built in the house of God for an habitation of God through the Spirit. Therefore, blessed are your eyes. They see. Not everybody sees. Not everybody, and that's the way it's supposed to be. That's the way God has ordained it. Look at Isaiah 29:10. Isaiah 29:10. Let's begin reading verse 9. Stay yourselves and wonder. Cry ye out and cry. For they are drunken, but not with wine. They stagger, but not with strong drink. For the Lord hath poured out upon you the spirit of deep sleep. Now he poured out the spirit of deep sleep on Israel. Eyes that they should not see and ears that they should not hear unto this day, but blessed. Blessed are your eyes. Rejoice that you see. Be glad that you see. He could have left us out. Look at and we'll hold your finger right there and let's look at Titus. Chapter 3. Titus chapter 3. Verse 3. For we ourselves also were sometime foolishness. We're foolish. God could have left us there. And been just, absolutely just. Yeah. Given us the reward of our own error and of our own sin. Yeah. For we ourselves were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not of works of righteousness which we have done, but by His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. He didn't blind our eyes. He didn't pour on us the spirit of slumber. But He visited us and taught us. Mm-hmm. Go to Isaiah 54:13. Shall be taught of God. Shall be taught of the Lord. We were children from eternity. God, before this world came to mind, had thought on us and had loved us in His Son, and He loved us as His Son. There'd have been no reason for God the Son to have put on humanity unless He had an eye to a bride that He had loved and determined to marry and bring her home to His Father. That's exactly what Christ did to us. There'd have been no reason for an office of the Christ, for an office of the surety, for an office of the substitute, the mediator, the great high priest, the prophet, priest, and king, unless there was a people over whom He was going to exercise all those offices. And they had to be seen with Him in the covenant of grace before the foundation of the world. You're an ancient people. You're from of old. From eternity. Amen. You were given a being through Adam in time. God has known you and loved you from everlasting. And blessed are your eyes. For they see, and your ears, for they hear. All thy children, thy covenant children, Acts 3:25, shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. Brother Tim James preached a sermon down at 13th Street, said, and the title of it was Eyes in the Boat. And his reference was to Peter when he got out on the sea and started struggling, looking around at the waves. As long as he's looking at Christ, everything's fine. But we got to looking around at the waves, and is it boisterous and so on, he began to sink. I said, keep your eyes in the boat on Christ. Great shall be the peace as long as our eyes on Christ. And we know we're in Him. Then we have peace. But when we get to looking around at ourselves, at our works, at what we are in nature, then of course we get worried. When we get to looking at other people and situations and circumstances and forget who God is. And it's not what we do. It's what Christ is. That's all of our salvation. It's not us. It's what Christ is. But anyway, let's move along. For the Lord hath poured out on you the Spirit. I'm back in Isaiah 30, verse 10. For the Lord hath poured out on you the Spirit of deep sleep, and hath closed your eyes. Who did that? Well, it said the Lord did. You know what He gave him? He gave him justice. He gave him exactly what they deserved. It's a miracle of mercy and grace that anybody sees. If God had given us all what we deserve, we'd all go to hell. But some of us, He's given grace. God hath poured on you the spirit of deep sleep, and hath closed your eyes, your prophets and your rulers. Now men preach a lie because that's all they know. That's what they've been taught all their life. They're doing the very best they can, most of them. Are honest. At least with what they have heard. They're not honest with this word. But they're honest, and that's their fault, because they'll check this word, see what this word says. And not what Brother so-and-so said. But what does the Bible say? What is it that is thus saith the Holy Ghost? That is our only standard. Thus saith the Lord. Your prophets and rulers seeth, and your seers hath He covered. Now look at that back at Isaiah 25. Verse 6. Now that is the covering, the blindness. That's over all people except the children of the covenant. And look here in Isaiah 25:6. In this mountain, in His church, among His people, whom He's given eyes to see, ears to hear, heart to understand. Blessed are your eyes. In this mountain shall the Lord of hosts make unto all people a feast of fat things. preach the gospel among his people. Cause them to hear it, understand it, believe it, and love it. A feast of wines on the lees, of fat things full of marrow, and wines on the leaves, well refined. And he will destroy in this mountain the face of the covering cast over all people, the blindness of the hearts. He destroys in this mountain, in the church, by the preaching of the gospel. He removes that covering that is over all people, makes the scales to fall off our eyes, and clear, and we see Christ clearly. Do you see Christ? Can you see the Lord Jesus Christ, that he's everything? If you can, God's removed the veil from your eyes. He's removed the covering. He's given you freedom from your own depravity. He set you free from your carnal mind that despises God. And he will destroy in this mountain the face of the covering cast over all people, and the veil that is spread over all nations. Now it's still there today. Israel's still blinded. All the nations are still blinded to the glory of Christ, with the exception of those speaking of in Acts 3:25. Turn over there. Let's look at that. Acts 3:25. Acts 3:25, ye believers who've got eyes to see and ears to hear, ye are the children of the prophets. Isaiah talks about you. Ezekiel talked about you. Joel saw you. Daniel prophesied of you. You're the children of the prophets. You are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers. Not only are we the children of the prophets, God made promises to us. God said, I swear by my holiness, they're going to endure forever. They're mine. I've declared it from eternity. They're mine. Isaiah 27. Verse 3. I, the Lord, do keep it. That's his garden. And you know that the Lord comes down and visits his garden. And he brings the north wind and the south wind, and it blows on his garden, and she sends forth her fragrance. Sends us trouble. Sends trials our way, and he sends times of refreshings. And that wind blows over his garden, his precious garden that he's cultivated. And he comes, he smells the fruit of that, and he comes into his garden and he eats of the fruits of his garden. He delights to fellowship and commune with those whom He has loved from everlasting, with that blessed bride of His covenant. Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the foundation, or the inherit the kingdom God hath prepared for you from the foundation of the world. But anyway, here in Isaiah 27:3, I the Lord do keep it, that garden. I will water it every moment. Lest any hurt it, and I will keep it night and day. Verse 4. Fury's not in me. Justice has been satisfied. The propitiation has made the law of God propitious toward us. There's no violence in it for us. Only reward of grace and of mercy and of truth. Because Christ has answered every charge that was against us. Fury is not in me. Who would set the briars and the thorns against me in battle in my garden? They said, I'd go through them. I would burn them together. Now this garden of the world, He lets it grow up. Oh, here. If the Lord has prepared a place in your heart for hearing, hear and believe. Believe. Ask the Lord. Lord, prepare my heart. Give me a ear to hear, eyes to see, and a heart to understand. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, or 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians 3. Verse 13. And not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which was abolished. Well, the thing that was abolished was the law. And we all know that Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. So Moses put a veil over his face when he went up, because he'd been up in the mountain in the presence of the Lord, and his face shone. It actually glowed like a light bulb. So he put a veil over his face to hide that light, because it frightened and upset the children of Israel. Well, that veil was a type of the blindness that's cast over the face of all people. That veil that is upon the, and covering it is upon all people, that hides Christ from their eyes. Not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which was abolished, which was Christ. But their minds were blinded. For unto this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. For believers, that veil's pulled aside. Now we see with open face the glory of the Lord in the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. We see His salvation clearly. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn unto the Lord, when it turns back to the Lord, when the Lord takes away the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all we believers, all the children of God, all the family, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord. Now look at these words, are changed into the same image. That's what we want. We are predestined to be conformed to the image of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's coming a time.
Amen.
When what? That I shall be changed. This sinful man will no longer be. And this dust, God will bring out of it a body as pleases Him. And there'll be no sin about it. And I'll live absolutely free from sin.
Amen.
Now, I know sin troubles all of you. It troubles me. We have thoughts and unbelief, and every sin you can think of is the most miserable and sorry as it is. It's all native to us. But try to imagine, if you can, 2 minutes without sin. Even our worship, our prayers, our most holy things have to be sanctified by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're sinners. Vile, wretched sinners. And if you don't believe it, next time your neighbor does you a little wrong, watch yourself. Back to 1 Corinthians 3:18. But we all with open face, beholding as in the glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image, and from glory to glory. Even as by the Spirit of the Lord. It's in His hands. It'll take Him to accomplish it. And He will. Blessed are your eyes. Let me read you just a couple more scriptures and I'll quit. Romans. Romans chapter 11. Verse 7. What then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for. Now Israel sought after righteousness in the sight of God, but they sought it through their own personal obedience of the law. So they didn't attain to righteousness. But the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blind. God gave them up to their own works. According as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, ears that they should not hear unto this day. And David saith, let their table be made a snare and a trap and a stumbling block and a recompense unto them. Now they did not want to keep God in their knowledge. They wanted to cast out all knowledge of the Lord. And the Lord gave them up to themselves. He didn't do that to us. He didn't give us up to ourselves, to our own depravity brought about by the fall. Let their eyes be darkened, that they see not, and bow down their back always. I say then, hath they stumbled that they should fall? Nay, God forbid. But rather through their fall, salvation has come to the Gentiles to provoke them to jealousy. Israel's cut off that we might be grafted in. Amen.